Well, that being said, what I wanted to do this semester, I wanted to start off in the book of Philippians. I wanted just to kind of launch just the semester thinking about specifically just one topic out of the book, Philippians, that I think is very significant and important to launch in the semester. So if you turn to Philippians 1, we're going to read two sections of Scripture. We'll read it and I'll pray and we'll move on. So if you get your Bibles, Philippians 1, I'm going to read 1 through 11 and then I'm going to jump over to Philippians 3 and read a little bit of that too. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with affection of Christ. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be sure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And then Philippians 3, 1 through 11, let's jump over there. It says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the real circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as of righteousness and of the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. We pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word to us, Lord. Thank you that you want to make yourself known to us, Lord, and you have given us your scriptures, Lord, that we might know you. We thank you that you made a way through Christ that we get to be in right relationship. Lord, I pray that you would bless our time. Lord, I pray that you would illuminate your scriptures to our hearts and our minds, that we might know and love you more. Lord, would you speak through me? Lord, would you help us just to look to you right now and just be with us? Amen. What I want to talk about these two sections of Scripture, and I'm going to talk more about from chapter 3 and more on chapter 1 next week. But I think a significant part of why Paul wrote the book of Philippians is right here in 3:1. Starting off, he says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. And so he's writing something that he's already written to them before. I'm just going to, he's like, hey, it's not a big deal to write the same thing. It's good. It's not a big deal to me. And this is good and safe for you. And what he wants to write about, what he goes on to talk about, is the gospel. And, so what I want to do is I want to remind us of the gospel tonight, and I think it's important. Obviously, it's important because Paul thought it was important. And I'll share more of my story, because I think often my response was, okay, the gospel, I know that, did that, let's move on to bigger things. But here Paul is writing to the believers in Philippi, and he's saying, hey, this is important for me to, I've already written to you about this once, obviously, and obviously he talked about it to him, and he says, it's not a burden to me, and it's safe for you. And we're going to talk about why that's so important. But just to give us a refresher, I'm going to just refresh our minds. And Dion did a great job. The songs were focused on the gospel. But I like to think on the gospel, just refresh myself. And so I try to think of the whole of the gospel, not just the cross, but the reality of what I was before I put my faith in Christ. And so Ephesians 2, it says we were enemies of Christ. It says we were actually slaves and obedient to Satan. It says Romans 3, it says all of our righteous acts were filthy rags. No one was right. No one is righteous. No, not one, it says. And Paul brings all these Old Testament scriptures together saying, hey, no one's righteous. Not at all. And this is coming from a Jew who, that's all they did. They were, and the word righteous means right standing with God. So all they did was try to work really hard at being right in the eyes of God. And he's saying, no one is. No one can do it on their own. You move on to Romans 3. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we move on to Romans 6, and we know that it says the wages of sin is death. So we know that what we earn because of our sin is death and separation for all eternity. So that's the bad news. The great thing is there's a lot of great news. And so God had to send Christ, and Dion sang songs about that. He mentioned it. But Christ came and lived the perfect life that we were unable to do. And by faith, we now, by faith, believing and trusting in Christ, we now have the righteousness, the right standing that Christ earned, we now get because he died for our sins, rose again. And when you think on the gospel, I love to think on the resurrection, because without the resurrection, that's the confirmation that he was God. That God was able to raise him from the dead. He said it was going to happen. He did it. And it shows that we no longer have to fear death because he conquered it. So to remember on that, because I think often I leave that out of the gospel if I share it or think on it. I forget the resurrection. Even though we have Easter to celebrate, that often when I think about the gospel, I was like, oh yeah, Jesus paid for my sins. But no, the glory of him rising from the dead man rising, it's a big deal. And that, I mean, just think on it. We know that because we grew up around that or whatever. But to really think on that, a dead man rising, God, the power of God, that's miraculous. And that defines and makes us different than every other religion. And so by faith in him, we now have salvation, not by our works. And so that's the gospel in a sense. And that's what Paul is writing to Philippians to remind them of. And the reason why he's writing them to remind them, it's because the gospel and growing up, I saw it. The gospel was something I believed in at one time. It got me saved. And then what I needed to do the rest of the time was work hard at making sure I was in right relationship with God. Or if I fell out of it, I had to work myself back into it. And I think that's the natural tendency of most of us. And we don't, it sneaks up on us, but our tendency is, oh yeah, I believe in the gospel. I share the gospel with others, but the gospel really doesn't impact my life daily. You know, yes, it saved me, but really, how does the gospel apply to my life today in helping me relate to God? I have to work at getting close to God. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, is just the reality of the gospel. The Philippians obviously struggled with this. Paul writes to the Galatians. He says, you foolish Galatians. He says, who has bewitched you? He said, how, starting with the Spirit, have you returned to the flesh? And what he's talking about there, and he talks about did you believe in Christ because of the law or by faith? And so what he's talking about there is saying, hey guys, you started with faith, but now the Galatians were going back and saying, oh, I have to earn, I have to be circumcised, I have to do all these things to be in right relationship with God. And he's saying, but that's not going to have you started. Why are you returning to that? And often I do that. I return back to thinking I earn my salvation. And I don't say that, but my actions and my emotions and the way I work hard to try to feel right actually says more about my theology and what I really believe than what I tell you. Growing up, I just want to give you kind of a picture. Growing up, I grew up in church, believed in Christ at an early age, and try to be a good kid. That's what you're supposed to do. I don't remember this like being preached at church, because what I remember about church is like I fell asleep at church. I don't know if anybody does that. Anybody fall asleep at church? Well, I did that. Like, it's the running joke when I go back to church. Oh, Kyle, you're going to fall asleep. I fell asleep in church. I tried to hide it by being like this, acting spiritual like I was praying. No. It was a small church. They all knew. I don't remember this being taught by any means. But really what came out, I believed in Christ. But what happened is, as I began to walk in my faith, I would call my faith kind of like it was a roller coaster. If I was not sinning much, I was doing really good with God. I felt good. I felt like we were in the right relationship. But if I sinned, I felt like I had to make up for it. And so I was like kind of low. I could be discouraged. But I would work really hard. And so what that kind of looked like is, say a normal day happens, sin happened, and a common sin, lust happened. I lust. I knew it. I was going to bed and I was like, holy cow, I better confess this, because if I died in my sleep, I might go to hell because I didn't perform today like I should have. And I honestly believe that, honestly. Growing up, so there's a lot of fear. And there was a lot of, all right, I need to be really good Christian. So youth group president, I didn't party or drink in high school. People knew me as the Christian kid. I didn't curse. On the outside, I was clean in the cup. If you know what I mean from the Gospels, Jesus talking and calling the Pharisees out, saying you're like a cup that you're trying to clean the outside, but inside there's dead. And I would say that was me. Christ was in me, but I was trying to look good on the outside, but I didn't know what to do with all the sin in my heart. I felt like I had to make up for it. And so I wore myself out. Even bringing that into college, it changed a little bit because God really started to reveal the gospel when it really was, and I had my security in Him. But it drove me to the point where I just tried to perform. I went into depression because I just tried to perform. And by perform, I just try to be the best. I try to do the right things instead of resting in the work of Christ and the gospel. And so, but God, not that I'm totally free from that, I can revert back to that. What that can look like is, maybe you went home with this break and it was a bad break. You blew it. I mean, I've heard all kinds of things. I've done all kinds of things on the break that I'm like, man, I just blew it. There was sin. I disrespected my parents. You name it. And I'm like, all right, New Year's resolution. I'm going to do better. And I'm going to be a good Christian. And me and God are going to be tight. And what that is right there is exactly what Paul's warning us against. He's done, Paul's saying, let's think on the gospel. And the gospel is that as he says in Philippians 3 here, 9, I'll go back to 8. Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. Count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, we can just replace that word law with our own works. But that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And so I want to remind us in the gospel, and this is good for me because I revert back to this, is because of the work of Christ that we relate rightly to God. And if you mess up, guess what? You don't have to perform to get back in right relationship. You already are in right relationship. He already paid for your sins on the cross. It happened. In Romans, he says, he uses this word reckon, which just kind of means just believe it. It is true. that you are in right relationship with God. You are righteous in the eyes of God because of the work of Christ. And you don't have to perform anymore. You don't have to try to make up for the semester, last semester, or what you did last night or the day before. And that's the beauty of the gospel. It's not just something that we use at one time and I bring it out and share it with friends when I want them to be saved. But it's something that impacts our life every day, empowering us to rightly relate to God and to live there's this glorious relationship. Now, it has its up and downs. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you're not going to feel discouraged because, wow, you know, I believe the gospel all the time. It's going to be tough at times. And that's by faith. You know, it's not by emotions that we relate to God. But he uses our emotions, and that's another topic. But I just wanted to remind you, because it's been such a significant part of my life to think on the gospel. Paul even, I love Paul talking about his own life. Paul, he was the performer. If you wanted to know, like if you want to go back to Jesus' time and you were like, who's the most, we're going to use religious person, Paul would be like the superstar. He'd be like on the all-star team of Pharisees. And that's pretty much what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, look, okay, if anybody has any confidence in the flesh, and hey, if anybody had any confidence of, hey, I could earn my standing with God by my works. Hey, it's me. Look at my rap sheet. He talks about being circumcised on the right day, being from the right tribe, being a Hebrew of Hebrews, being a Pharisee, which is like the elite of the elite spiritually. He said, as to the law, I was faultless. He had it. I mean, the hundreds and hundreds of laws. He's like, I had them down. And he said, he was so passionate about God and earning his salvation. He's like, these Christians, they don't have it right, and I'm going to go persecute them in the name of God. And man, did he have it wrong. And then in God's grace, he opened Paul's eyes. And so it's a big deal that Paul has spent most of his life. I think to be a Pharisee, I think you had to be 30. By the age of 18, you had memorized the whole Old Testament. So he had worked really hard. And for him to say these things, listen to what he says. I'm just read it again. But whatever gain, all these things I did, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. And so he says, you know, it'd be like the 4.0 of Pharisees. He's like, I got it perfect. You know, I graduated perfectly. And all that was worthless. Rubbish, it's the word for poop. We just say it nicer. And worthless. It was compared to knowing Christ. And he wrote to the Philippians because he's been there. He did that. He wrote that to the Galatians. He writes it in multiple letters. Because for us, this is what we revert back to. We revert back to it. And it sneaks in. You might be, I'm doing good. Maybe you're doing great, and that's awesome. We still need to think on the gospel. And one thing I like to do, and I wish I was so disciplined to do this, but Jerry Bridges, who's an author with the Navigators, he calls it preach the gospel to yourself every day. And what he means by that is you wake up and think on the gospel. Remember what you once were, what Christ's work was, and what you now are. Because we need to be reminded of that. We need to be refreshed, the ups and downs of life, the knowing of our security in Christ. I love Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you, Paul being confident, says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. God began the work of salvation in us, and he will end it. And so that's security, knowing that he is at work. And It gives us the freedom to live and to know that, because the cycle I was in high school, middle school, high school, college, is I could only perform for so well, for so long. Because I would say, God, I'm not going to do this again, fill in the blank. But guess what? I would do it again. Because I was trying to do it on my own. And there was just this vicious cycle of trying to perform. Man, I blew it, so I'd be discouraged, sometimes depression, feeling like I'm not a good Christian. Just, man, it defined my life, this cycle of performing. But nowadays, and not always, believing in the gospel gives me the freedom to enjoy relationship with God instead of trying to work at it in such a way that it's impossible to feel like I've done a good job when I really look at the sin that happens. And maybe that's not the up and down is yours. Maybe you've been more like Paul. And me and Nikki, we were talking about this, and she said I should share this, because I can be like Paul too. I think I can. I try to look really good and think I'm doing really good. And we do that. She wanted me to share this specifically. But when we can go home and we can leave either of our parents. Kara's gonna hear this. But we can leave my parents' house or her parents' house, and one of the first things we start doing or start talking about, you know, what they're doing wrong, and thinking we're doing it right, and thinking when we have a teenage daughter, we're going to have it right, because Nikki's sister's 16 and she's great. She loves God, but she's being raised different than the rest of the older three. So we're like, we think we know Emmeline's going to be perfect. And, you know, but that was us thinking we were righteous in our own eyes. We won't sin against our children. It's a complete lie. Every parent knows better than this, but, we begin to think we're gonna do it right. We're gonna have it all together. I'm gonna perform. I know better. So, you know, in that situation, we're just gonna do really well. And if that's you, I just want to warn you that you're gonna burn out and get tired. Maybe you have a high capacity to perform, and you're gonna marry someone that doesn't, and you're gonna discourage them. Your children, you're gonna try to drive them to perfection instead of knowing that it's looking for them to encourage them. I know you can't perform, because I can't perform. Let's look at the cross. Let's think on the gospel, and we'll relate, because I'll forgive you, because I know you can't do it perfectly. And that's okay, because Christ did it perfectly, and that's what we rest on. I like to think of this, just another illustration to think on. So when thinking about working at this, and just the absurdity of it. Say you're in Tully Gym. Who likes to go to the gym? Anyone like to go to the gym? I hate the gym, but I go. And everybody's going to the gym now. It's January. Everybody's made the New Year's resolution to work out. I assume gyms make a lot of money in January, have a lot of cancellations in February. It's just funny. I'm there, and I'm like, wow, these people were not there in December. So you're in Tully Gym. And you're like, all right, Matola Gym, I need to get to Westcott Fountain. I'm going to get there quick. And so what you decide to do, you jump on a treadmill and you start running. And you run really fast, you run up the upline, because that's how you get to Westcott, it would be up and down. So you put it up, you know, the treadmill on the up and down to make you feel like you're getting, and then you get off and you look around and you're Tully Gym still. Did you get any closer to Westcott? No. What'd you get? You got nowhere, and you got sweaty and tired. That's the same thing when we're trying to earn our right relationship with Christ, when we're trying to get back to being a good Christian. We don't get anywhere doing it on our own. And you'll get there tired, sweaty, and you still... you can't perform to do that. You're already there. And we can rest in that. And that's what Paul is encouraging in the Philippians. So as we read Philippians, and next week we're going to talk a little bit more about the gospel, and how we're meant to not just hold on to the gospel, but take it to other people. But Paul, in all of his letters, is thinking and talking about the gospel. And he's doing it to believers. So my encouragement for you, wherever you're at, if you've been doing well, think on the gospel. If you've been discouraged, think on the gospel. Preach it to yourself every morning. Rest in the work of Christ. Get off the treadmill of trying to perform, trying to think you're getting somewhere because I'm doing enough. And I say this because I try that really, like I said, I try that really hard even with Navigators. We give you a lot of opportunity to perform. Not that we want it to be that way, but I took scripture memory and I said, all right, I'm going to do it really well, and I'm going to be a good Christian. So I did it to perform. I did Bible study well to perform. I tried to disciple to perform, evangelize, all the things to perform. And not out of the reality. Now, sometimes I did, not all the time. Sometimes I did, man, God, you did a lot for me. Because of our relationship and I love you and you love me, I want to memorize scripture. I want to study the script. I want to study. I want to share Christ. And that's my heart for you. Because we're going to start talking about, so we're going to start to talk about discipleship. We, you know, you, in Bible study, we talk about memorizing scripture. Inductive Bible study is right around the corner. That's a awesome way just to study and know the scripture more. But the issue isn't, those things aren't the issues that make you perform. The issue's in our heart. That's what makes us want to perform is the thought that, hey, well, another opportunity to look good. And so if you perform, don't just stop doing scripture memory to say, well, you know, that's the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is our heart. And we, in our heart, needs to think on the gospel and rest in Christ's work, that we were separated, had no chance, enemies of God. He brought us near to God in right relationship because of his work, of his perfection in this, when he came and lived in his payment. And resting on that, saying, God, now I want to study the scripture because of that. I want to study hard this semester, make good grades because the gospel, because what you've done, what you purchased. I want to serve, not just to be the good Christian. I mean, that's, I'm telling you, that was my lifestyle MO. Performance, performance, performance. Gets you nowhere. And so my encouragement, once again, is to believe on the gospel. Start the semester off well, thinking on the gospel. There's, like I said, there's a lot of opportunities to perform. And that's the last thing I want to do. That's not why we have leadership teams and Joshua teams and STPs, for to keep you busy, for you to be a good Christian. Christ did it. Let's trust in it. And I pray that the aroma, kind of the smell, if you got around us as a NAVS here, would be that we would think, hey, those people talk about the gospel. And we would relate to each other. I mean, the gospel drives us to relate well to each other because we can forgive because we've been freely forgiven. Because what happens is kind of a result, a way to know if you're like a works righteousness person, do you judge a lot? Do you think, man, I'm doing better than he is or she is? Because I do that. I did that. So that's a good evaluation. Man, I judge people all the time. Wow, maybe I don't believe on the gospel. And don't be, if you're struggling in this area, the last thing I want you to do is then be discouraged more because I'm not doing that well either. That's the tendency. That's the vicious cycle. I did that too. Can do that still. Rest in the work of Christ. That's what Paul is encouraging. He's saying, hey, I did all the work. It's all rubbish. All for the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Knowing him, his resurrection, suffering for him. It's all worth it. And it's beautiful and when we rest in Christ. So let's do that this semester. Let's start the semester off that way. What I want, kind of in closing, I was kind of quick tonight, but in closing, here's what I want us to do. I want to challenge us today, and I want to call it the gospel challenge. I want us for the next 7 days, I want to challenge you to wake up and preach the gospel to yourself. Now, maybe you've never done that before. It's okay. It's a good time to start. But what I want you to do, and what I'm going to do is me or someone, for the next 7 days, what we're going to do each day, we'll post on the FSU Navigator page, I'll post a gospel scripture, a verse or section. And you can go there if you want to think on it, to read it, to pray it, and to think and remember. And when I think about, when we talk about testimony or something like that, to remember what once we were. Now, you can say, I was saved at 3. I don't remember being obedient to Satan. That's okay. It was true. You were dead in your sins. We were enemies. At some point, all of us were that. To think on that is what I deserved was definitely everlasting destruction. Christ, you paid the way. I freely get this. And I get to live for you. And to think on that. So I challenge you to do that. The next 7 days, to start off the semester thinking on the gospel every morning. Wake up, let that be the first thing. Somehow, you need to write it on a sticky note. I know some of y'all write on your mirrors in the bathroom. Whatever, just to say, God, I want to think on the gospel. Start off the semester believing the gospel for my life now. And living out that reality. Now, just real quick also, I want to mention in Philippians 2:12, Paul does tell us, he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, some people might think, well, hey, look, I need to perform. That's not what he's talking about there. We can't work out something we don't have. He's saying you've got salvation. Now act like you're saved. That's what he's talking about there. And it's kind of like being a son or a daughter, and you don't earn being a son or daughter like you are. Like your parents, your mom has you, and you are then a son or daughter. It just happens. And for that mom to say, all right, now act like my child. That's kind of what Jesus is telling us through Paul here. You are saved. You are a child of God. Let's live that way. Work it out. He's not saying earn it. You need to perform to actually deserve the salvation. He's saying, no, you have it. Let's work it out. And I think what will help us and propel us to do that is to preach the gospel every morning to ourselves, because there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be opportunities to think, wow, I could really look good, like I'm doing the right thing if I perform in this area. And I want us, I desperately, and I say this for myself, and I talk on this because it's something very dear to my heart, because I need it every morning. You never graduate out of the gospel. I've got the gospel down, now to move on to the big thing, the master, the doctorate, study of the scriptures. The gospel is the foundation for all and how we relate to God. So let's start off the semester thinking on it, believing it, saying, God, I might not feel this way by faith. I want to believe that it is real. Would you meet me where maybe I just don't feel like it's true? I don't feel like we can talk about shame and guilt. We can talk all night about this. But it is real. This is reality. It is scripture. It is more true than anything we feel. That we are in right relationship with Christ. If you put your faith in Christ, you are in right relationship with Christ because He has already done the work. And let's believe that. So let me pray. Just ask God to help you. Maybe you're not here. Maybe I hope some of you needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. I've been trying to make up, I feel like, all semester, and God reminded me of the gospel, to rest in Him. So my prayer for you is that you would rest this semester in the gospel, in His work. And out of that, God would do some pretty exciting things amongst us. So let me pray. And then we have a couple announcements. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the gospel. We know, we don't really know. We don't understand what you went through. We as believers will never have to go through the agony of being separated from God, like you were, Lord. And so we thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sin, that we might be in right relationship with Christ. I pray, Lord, that the gospel would be real to us. This semester, Lord, we, Lord, would rest and trust in the gospel of the good news of what you did for us, Lord. And out of that, Lord, we would share with people. Out of that, we would get excited about spending time with you, memorizing scripture, serving people, studying biology, which is not exciting. Lord, that we would just honor you because we don't have to perform. We rest in your work. And we get to live as children of God. Now, once we were enemies, now we're children, heirs, friends. You've changed who we are in relating to you. We thank you for that, Lord. Well, I pray, I just want to pray against this, the enemy and the lies that I know will come and are there already, that hinder us from believing the truth, Lord. And I know, in the group decides, I mean, sin happens all the time, Lord, that when I was in that out there, often I would just be discouraged, Lord, because I didn't feel like I was doing enough. But I pray, Lord, against that lie, and I pray that we would trust in the gospel. We thank you for our time, Lord. We just pray that for the rest of the semester, Lord, you would be glorified. We pray, Lord, that you would use the gospel to draw people to you through the NAVs, through other Christian groups on campus, Lord. We pray that we would be a group that would encourage one another, love one another, and most of all, that we would know and honor you more. We just thank you for our time. Amen.